Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Now, 2024 was a lively old year in Irish politics. Referendums, local and European elections, a general election. There are a few events set in the calendar for the year ahead that will have some significance for the Irish government. And we're going to look ahead at some of those now, and joining us to talk us through them are Claire Scott, political correspondent with the Sunday Times, and Harry McGee, political correspondent with the Irish Times. Good morning to you both.
Good morning.
Hi, Colm.
Before we get to the big events of the year, we don't have a government, Harry, so any progress over the Christmas? Any notes exchanged?
Well, my first New Year's resolution for 2025 was not to repeat any of the tired old observations or cliches I made in 2024. And I'm going to break that resolution with my very first breath in the studio. Right. And nothing has happened over Christmas, really. And I think the talks will begin in earnest next week. And essentially, it's Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil team sitting down trying to negotiate a programme for government. They're looking at both manifestos, looking at what they did in government, and trying to come up with an agreed plan. I don't think it's going to be as convoluted or as difficult as it was in 2020, because it's only the two of them and there are lots of kind of shared areas in that kind of Venn diagram between their respective manifestos. And then the two other imponderables are the prospective coalition partners. The Social Democrats are still in the game. That has surprised many people. They're meeting Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil next week. They have a number of red lines. They want, for example, Sláintecare to be implemented. They're looking for a full Minister for Disability. They have other red lines in relation to housing. The red lines are not quite as thick. The marker is not as thick as it was, for example, for the Labour Party. So it's not beyond the bounds of possibility that the Social Democrats could go into government. But I would be very surprised if that were to happen. And I think the more realistic prospect, of course, are the group of independents kind of collected under the regional banner. What will happen if they go in is that the programme for government will be agreed between the two bigger parties, and then their kind of wish list will be kind of tacked on as a kind of a protocol. And I can expect, without being kind of Albert Einstein in terms of my prediction powers, that there will be lots of regional goodies and tacked in there, yes, if we're talking about the independents.
So what about the timetable for talks there, Claire? Harry talked about, you know, the Social Democrats next week at some point meeting Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil. In terms of the two parties re-engaging with each other to hammer out the brass tacks of any potential programme for government, areas of agreement and disagreement, when does that start and who'll be involved in it?
Yeah, so they have their negotiation team set up before Christmas, and things will be kicking off again from about the 6th of January to look at, as Harry outlined, where those two parties align and also differ, really. So we had kind of them matching up around areas like sort of areas of defence and foreign affairs. But there are a few issues that are going to kind of be discussed, and sort of the fine lines of all of these things are going to be dredged out in the coming weeks. And I suppose some of those areas, will include the Department of Justice, who's actually going to end up getting that portfolio. We saw the Taoiseach, in the lead up to the election, really hone in on this idea that Fianna Fáil would like to take on that portfolio in the coming government. Given they have 10 more seats now than Fine Gael, that could come down to, quite the battle. There are other areas as well, that there was arguments over VAT rate, the idea that the 13.5% should drop down to 11% for hospitality. That was raised by Fine Gael in the lead up to the election. And there was also Fine Gael's plan for Department of Infrastructure. I don't think Fianna Fáil were too happy with that. So all of that is going to be, discussed in the coming weeks. And they do have the deadline of the 22nd of January. But to be honest, I have a bit of a question mark over whether that will happen, because ultimately you'll have to establish a programme for government and also, likely bring in the regional independents, who are the most likely candidate for that third leg of government. They'll have to agree to that too. And then both Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil have to go to their members, ballot them as to whether they agree to that programme of government. If they go down the Ardèche route, that could take, an extra week to organise. So the idea that you have all of that done by the 22nd, a slight question mark over that. Maybe it can be. Maybe it can be done. We shall see.
Right. In the last few times, Harry, I've interviewed people, politicians, talking about government formation. It's all about the policy first. We'll worry about ministers and personalities later. Really?
That's what they say, Colm. Why would we even begin to disbelieve them if they say that? Yeah, of course, people are already beginning to jostle. For
people who brought in a running mate in a constituency might beg to differ, or certainly be nervous
if they don't think
that's a priority.
They're drumming out the lines, but privately there is jostling for position. Of course there is. And lots of names have already been mentioned in the context of promotion. The thing is that if Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil go in with the independents, they will have more ministries to dole around. The big question with the independents is, will the independents, if they go in, will they get a full ministry or not? Or will they be content with a junior ministry? They're not coherent like a political party. There is some coherence because of Michael Lowry's influence, and he seems to be kind of coordinating everything. But they may not be able to attain a full ministry at the end of the day.
All right. Well, Claire, I mean, it would stand to reason that they'd at least go in and ask for one, if for nothing else, to improve their leverage on junior ministries.
That's it. I mean, my understanding is that they've been quite clear behind the scenes with certain members of Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael that they'll be looking for one senior ministry, one super junior ministry and two junior ministries. And the sense that I'm getting is that seems to be quite a reasonable request, given the Greens got considerably more when we were looking at the formation of government in 2020. So I think that they do seem to be the most likely of the partners that we're going to see. And they're not asking for a huge amount now. But I mean, whether they'll, you know, ask for more, or whether they'll be looking for very specific ministries, particularly in rural affairs and agriculture, which is something that Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil both want as well. That could be the issue that comes to the fore in the coming weeks.
All right. Run the ruler over the hungry and the hopeful there. Who are your best guesses for elevation whenever the politicians decide to turn their attention to that?
Well, I think the obvious candidate within Fine Gael would be Jennifer Carl McNeill. You talked about somebody bringing in two TDs to a constituency. Fine Gael now have two TDs in Dúnlíre. Neil Richmond, I think, would be another person in Dublin who might be considered for elevation within Fianna Fáil. A number of names have been mentioned. Mary Butler and James Brown, both in the South East. Now, that might provide some kind of difficulty in relation to geography. Others who have been mentioned include James Lawless from Kildare North.
Also brought in a running mate, yeah.
Also Jim O'Callaghan, Dublin Bay South, and Niamh Smith, the outgoing chair of the Arts Committee, who is a TD for Cavan Monaghan, and two TDs were returned in Cavan Monaghan for a while. It looked like they might cede a TD there, but she managed to retain her seat against very stiff competition. Amongst the independents, lots of names have been mentioned.
Do you want to give us a few, Claire?
Yeah, I would say Sean Canny. I think that he's likely to be elevated, just given his previous support for governments and his experience and his location as well. I think, geography is going to play a significant part of this, as well as gender, when it comes to deciding who gets what. Kevin Boxer-Moran is also in there. And Noel Grealish was quick to make a statement just before the Christmas break that he'd be interested in some sort of senior position in government, which I think took a lot of people by surprise. It's not generally his style to be so vocal on these kinds of things. Just wanted to put his name in the mix, I would imagine. But, Marion Harkin, I would imagine, could be up something as well, but it is an interesting group, and I think they'll all be looking for something. I also don't want to rule out the Healy Rays either in terms of coming into.
Yeah, what's your analysis there? Is that they've signalled a willingness, obviously, to do a local deal? Do you think the other regional independents would be keen to have them on board in some fashion or form, if for nothing else, as for reasons not to be criticised from outside the tent, perhaps, on any deal that is ultimately done?
I think so, but I think even particularly, Micheál Martin has been taking them very seriously and has met with them before Christmas, and seemed to indicate to Michael Healy-Rae that not only were they wanted in government, they were also needed. I think this idea of stability is kind of a laboured term now at this point. But I think, you know, given, you know, what we're expecting globally in the year to come, the idea that this government needs to be as strong as possible kind of goes without saying at this point. But I think bringing the Healey raise in some way, shape or form, whether that's sort of a confidence and supply agreement or actually bringing them into the fold, into government, and promising that they'll look after Kerry, which is one of the, you know, the biggest red lines that the Healey raise are putting forward. I think there's a place for them there.
A full the Department of Kerry, full Kerry Department in government with a senior ministerial portfolio, perhaps being the demand.
The kingdom deserves its prince and its king, Colm.
What would you expect? I suppose it's worth looking, Harry, at the opposition benches as well. There is at least the prospect in the incoming Dáil that you'll have, broadly speaking, a left-right divide between government and opposition benches. How cohesive would you imagine the opposition benches will be on that front, seeing as they remain in competition with one another?
Yeah, to quote an old Brush Shields song, yeah, better than I expected, but not as good as I hoped. Some people within the opposition want to have a very cohesive left wing alliance. That's not going to happen. I think there will be more cooperation, but I think it will be more informal than formal. The Labour Party before the election wanted to have a kind of a soft left kind of voting pact or alliance that was rejected out of hand, particularly by the Social Democrats. In the aftermath of the election, Ivana Bacik and the Labour Party also sought to have some kind of agreement between left of centre parties. And again, the Social Democrats have indicated very strongly that if they go into opposition, they will essentially be paddling their own canoe. They will come together strategically with other opposition parties, but they have said that they want to vote and to oppose according to their own light. So I don't see any formal arrangement happening. I think Sinn Féin have a challenge. Sinn Féin have been essentially riffing on a theme for a long time of a kind of a permanent government. But Sinn Féin are beginning to have the look of a permanent opposition, especially after, you know, the third election in a row in which they're left out of government. And I think Sinn Féin will need to renew as well. I mean, they are talking about what looks like a radical shake-up of its own front bench. And I expect that Sinn Féin may change some of its main themes as well. And they won't, not that they're going to dismiss housing or health, which are very central to everything that they stand for. And of course, the unity question. But I think that they will try to introduce perhaps a few more themes to the way that it opposes.
We only have about a minute left on this discussion, but I'll get your thoughts on the Shannon election upcoming, of course, because the Shannon hasn't the seats and that haven't been decided yet. What should we be looking out for there?
Well, I mean, the Shannon elections are 43 seats from the vocational panels, and they represent the strength of the party. So Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil will do best because they did relatively well in the local elections and also in the general election. Sinn Féin will still have a fair quota of seats. I think the smaller parties will maybe get one or two Shannon seats each. There's the university panel of six. There was legislation that was introduced in the last Dáil that allowed the franchise of that to be expanded. But unfortunately, it hasn't been implemented in time. So we're back to the old Trinity and National University of Ireland panels. And those elections, the ballot papers are going out and people will be voting on that. And then the Taoiseach of the day will have 11 nominees, and they will mainly be Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael senators.
OK, Harry McGee, political correspondent with the Irish Times, and Claire Scott, political correspondent with the Sunday Times. Thanks very much for that. We're back in a minute.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.